I guess this in this service, when we particularly focus on saints departed, it might be looking, felt like looking back or looking towards people that we miss. But the reality is that this memory, this looking, remembering them, helps us in what that song said, knowing Jesus is the greatest thing in life. I don't know how it is with you, but marathon runners tell me that it's not easy for them. I often wonder, you know, if they were born differently from me, but they tell me, no, as a marathon runner, we find it really difficult. And the hardest thing they face is running part of that course when they're well on through the race, through the marathon, and there's no one watching them and there's no one cheering them on the course. So here in the photograph, you see people lining the street there, cheering people on. But I well remember in Rotterdam, where there was a certain part in the one of the main green areas of the city, where you'd find very few people by the forest cheering on. And that was a difficult point. I don't know if you're a runner of marathons, but even if you go for long walks or you go for hill walks, you'll find there are points in that journey which are more difficult, and you just need a bit of encouragement. And all this is to say is that the Christian life is a race. And the writer of Hebrews, that we read his passage just now, said that if we're going to run the Christian life without distractions and not getting off track, then we have to keep our eyes firmly fixed and focused on Jesus. He says, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. So I get it. Great runners have endurance. Great marathon runners know what it's like to go through that hard point. Because Christianity is the same. It's not a 100-yard dash, is it? It's a marathon of endurance. And that's why we say the Christian life is a race in which we need to train and run with perseverance, not giving up except those things that would hold us back. And so the main point at the end of our reading today was the command to run the race with endurance, to focus our eyes on the example of Jesus. Christ, remember, endured the pain of the cross and all that led up to it. And as we run the race of faith, we run with our heads up, with our eyes focused on Jesus. And if we're to run the life of faith, we need to resist everything that would distract us, everything that would keep us from looking at him. So the writer says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and lose heart. Think of the pain, think of the cost it was to Christ as he endured the way of the cross so that our sins be forgiven, so that we might be free to live. See, it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. Jesus made it clear that those who endure to the end will be saved. The finish line of the race is Christ-likeness. Jesus is growing in us. Jesus is maturing in us on this race course where we begin more and more to look like him. That is, when we walk by faith and trust. And so in that reading from Hebrews chapter 11, that part of the end of the chapter gives us illustrations of faith about what faith achieves, what faith endures, and what faith receives. It's all by faith through Christ. Have you faith this morning? Have you a little bit of faith? Trust in Christ. And remember, this is what the great cloud of witnesses did. Through all of life's difficulties, they learned to trust God. And so the message of our Bible reading today is that each of the characters that we think of as witnesses, as saints, has a part to play in the glorious chain that connects us with the plan and purposes of God. The heroes of faith in the past, we in our time, in our generation, and those who will come after us are all part of one complete and glorious congregation. You know, it's a bit like this morning. We look around at each other and we think, it's great to see each other, but we're not the whole congregation of the steeple. Well, that's what we have to learn to do in All Saints Sunday. When we look around us, we see other Christians, but we don't see everybody. And we have to use our sanctified imaginations to recall the reality that all the saints, past, present, and future, are united in worshiping Jesus. Remember also this, that all these witnesses who surround us are old, flawed heroes. What I mean is that they're like us, with frailties and weaknesses. But it was amongst their frailties that they overcame trouble and learnt to trust God. And that's no different for us. The point is that we're not alone, and we have their example to try to live through our troubles and have faith. We walk in the sight of those who've walked before. They're our cheerleaders. So if you're having a tough time right now, and I don't know, maybe you are having a particularly tough week, if you feel sometimes maybe ready to give up or not turn up, just remember those who've gone before you. Just remember all those around you and all those who will go before you. One of my great joys when I was a minister in the Netherlands in the Presbytery of Europe was to discover the Orthodox Church. In fact, in our street in Rotterdam, we had a Russian Orthodox Church just up the road. That's it there. And typically, when you go into an Orthodox Church, it has four levels. And when you go in, you go into the center of the flooring and look up. And above you is that dome, that Byzantine dome with its ceiling. And usually you will find a fresco or a painting of Christ or a representation of God the Father. That's right in the center above your head. And then on the next level down, you see the 12 disciples and the prophets from the Old Testament depicted. And surrounding the interior area is another level down, the one that you've got in front of you just now. Where in the Russian church in Rotterdam, you see the saints represented. And then there's the ground floor where you're standing to worship. And then around you is Jesus depicted on the walls through the stories from the Gospels. But it's at this level, it's the level just above you, that you become aware of the saints to which you're culturally connected. And the Apostle Paul used to speak about saints when he addressed his letters to cities and churches. By saints, he meant the true members of that fellowship. So if he wrote to us today, if the Apostle Paul, I know it's not possible, but 2,000 years ago it could have done. Say he was writing to the Steeple Church or the church in Dundee, he would write, to the saints of the church in Dundee. That would be his opening line. Now, have you ever thought of yourself as a saint? Well, me neither. It's not something that I go around thinking about. But the tradition of the church tells us that we are all saints. That's with a small rather than a capital S, by the way. And not only that, but we are part of a company, a great communion of saints. This is actually mentioned in the third clause of the Apostles' Creed, what I call the Holy Spirit clause. You just read it in the Apostles' Creed sometime. In short, the communion of saints means the fellowship, the support, the sharing of all believers departed this world. So you see, the idea of communion of saints is big in our Christian faith, in our Christian tradition. Just see, for example, some of the hymns that we sing. One of the best known old hymns of the church is the church's one foundation. And it describes it as mystic, sweet communion with those whose rest is one. And another well-known hymn, which we're going to kind of sing today, for all the saints who from their labors rest, puts it like this. It says, O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Way back in 1888, William Walsham Howe wrote these words when he was the first bishop of Wakefield. And he wanted to describe how God has a glorious plan. He wanted to imagine the dimensions of God's care, which are vaster than we can ever imagine. And so he wrote again, he said, But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. You know, all of this is to say, whoever you are, wherever you are right now, you can count on the King. He will not fail you. He will pass your way. And you can follow him now, knowing that you have others with you. Those, some of them that you can see, others you can't see anymore. But they are with you just as if you're in a marching army together. Let me put it like this in conclusion. When someone dies in faith, when we talk about a bereavement, the person who has died in Christ doesn't simply go into a kind of waiting room or go into limbo somewhere. Sometimes that's been suggested, but that's not the case. The person is transported into glory, into the presence of Christ, it seems, at that very moment. And so today is not really about praying to the saints departed. That's not what we're advocating. But what we are suggesting is that becoming aware of their interest, aware of their support, helps us in our life and struggle of faith. Today is not only the day of great saints, but it's also the day of nameless saints, many of them whom you've never met and their names you do not know. Dead or alive, the saints are among us, and they touch our lives literally every day. You've no doubt encountered a number of them in your life. Well, you're in their presence right now. But don't get hung up on this. The key thing is to finish the race. And encouraged by them, look straight to Jesus. Look straight ahead in your faith to Jesus Christ, the one who comes to us, the one who dwells in our heart by faith. It is he who gives his Holy Spirit to us.
It is He who enables us to go on in believing, in trusting, in serving. And whilst that's happening, all the saints are watching for you. They're cheering you on. And Jesus, touched with the feeling of your weakness and infirmities, comes to your aid. Only Jesus saves us, but the saints point the way. Amen.